Welcome back to another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Nikon. As usual, I'm Max.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm Nikon.
And together, we're Max, Nikki, and Nikon. Together again.
Yes.
For the last few weeks. I know we were off last week. Max and I were quite a bit busy. But before that, we had a different co-host because Nikon was in Spain. How was the trip, Nikon?
Spain was great. There is an echo.
Yeah. Max, because you don't have your you don't have something plugged in.
Oh, should I do that?
Of course, dude. That's what you were just telling Nikon.
I totally forgot. Do you have headphones over there?
Totally forgot.
No, here, Nikki, I'll just give me your headphones. Or why don't you plug in?
What are you talking about, dude?
Oh. Okay, I'll be right back.
Well, this is off to a great start.
Nikon, tell us about your trip to Spain.
Yeah, tell us your trip.
Oh, yeah, the trip was great. It was great. We were in Madrid for a handful of days. Marika had her final performances as a professional ballet dancer.
Marika is Nikon's fiance, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, so that was fantastic. And then we went to Barcelona. We were there for about a week, and then we were in Mallorca for about a week.
So. Oh, wow. This is probably a lovely time to go.
Yeah, it could have been a little warmer, but it was great.
I remember when I went to Spain, it was almost exactly around this time. Actually, it was April of 2009, and I remember it raining a bit, but I remember it being warm as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was good.
But anyway, so great time in Spain. What was your favorite city you went to, and what was your favorite thing that you did besides going to see your fiance in her final ballet performance?
The favorite site that we saw was the, what's it called, the cathedral, the Gaudi Cathedral. Sagrada Familia.
Pictures
don't do it justice. Just like there's nothing like being inside of that place.
So. I'm sure it's been built upon quite a bit since I was there, which is in 2009.
Yeah, the thing I love about it is like, you know, as part of the tour, they're like, so yeah, the next time you come here, it's probably going to be very different, or like there's going to be a lot more progress than where we're at right now, because they're just like, it's just like a decades long project to actually finish it. So.
Yeah. And you went to Salvador Dali's museum?
Yeah, we went to the, what do you call it?
It's like the
theater
like
museum.
An interviewer, like, oh, and I heard you went to Salvador Dali's museum. Like, you know how they do in talk shows where they're already know the story behind.
I knew that that was the plan, but
I
wasn't
sure. We didn't tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I remember talking with Nikon and asking if he was planning on doing it. There was planning on doing it, but I didn't know for sure if they.
Well, and we went. It was a real pain in the ass to get to.
It is kind of out of the way.
Real pain in the ass to get to, but it was great. Once we were finally there, one of the things I don't know if we want to do this as a topic, but. I think I don't want to say traveling is overrated, but like I kind of agree.
You don't even have to
a battle of like how many positive memories can we create to combat all of the horrible
hassle.
Stuff
all
we have to go
my
through. Yeah.
Good yes. stories from traveling were negative things that happened to me, but in retrospect, they're kind of. Funny to talk about.
I mean, no, I definitely have some good.
Well, there's some good stories.
There's some good stories. The funniest stories.
But it's a battle. It's a battle between the good. Yes. You just hope that the good memories outweigh the horrible stuff.
It is quite exhausting mentally, emotionally, which is part of your mental.
It's like some people are
physically.
What are other ways to be exhausted?
Well, I'll let you know when I was trying to go to.
But that could lead us into our grammar corner.
I was kind of hoping to do a segue.
Well, when I was trying to go to the Salvador Dali Museum when I was in Barcelona, it was a hassle, and I got sick that day, and I was like, "Well, I gotta go. This is like, you know, my last chance to go."
That happened
and
to me.
I went all the way over there, only to find that it was closed that day.
That's worse
than our experience.
I was really bummed out, but then by the time I got back to Barcelona, Strangely, my sickness had subsided. It was one of those true 24-hour travel sicknesses.
Right? That happened to me in Rome, Nikki. I got sick.
What museum did you go to that was closed?
I didn't.
What museum did you travel 2 hours to get to?
Well, nothing was closed, but I was supposed to go to the Vatican that day.
And you just went the next day.
No. I got really sick, and I was like, I'm only here for so much time. I have to go see some stuff. And so I saw some things, but I didn't go to the Vatican that day because you have to schedule an appointment to go there.
Right.
And to see, the Sistine Chapel. And luckily, the last day I was there, I went to see it. But if something went wrong that day, I would have missed out.
No,
I just,
that's the cut. Is he cutting you? All right. How was the show yesterday? The New York Times publicized show.
It was. Sure. We picked up the print copy, and our picture was the biggest in the weekend roundup. It was like right there.
Awesome.
Page two of the arts and entertainment section.
Nice.
It was actually.
Did it drive results? Like having that?
It did. It did. It was pretty packed in there, actually. But
nice.
And it was a good show overall. It's just, we're doing it, this new venue, and...
new venue for us.
There's like a venue part, but then there's a bar,
Separated
by a curtain. And we were under the impression that the bar would turn off the music, or at least turn down their music really low. When we started the show,
bar show, huh?
Was not the case.
Right.
And when we were performing our songs, especially the music from the bar was quite noticeable for us.
It was intrusive. And I just thought
we felt bad about that.
So lend itself to a mashup? That would have been pretty.
No, it was. God. I mean,
I wish
a mashup of like some,
bebopping and
doo-wopping
and whatever
music and some like hard sub bass kind of pumping music or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But other than that, after the audience kind of got adjusted to that noise coming through, they were quite responsive actually, and everybody did really well on the show, and that was
nice.
Really cool.
No, it was an enjoyable show. Audience was great.
It was also a mixed group of people because you had people who came from the New York Times, which tended to be older people.
Well, we think. We're not totally sure.
And then you had people coming from the Skint and Patch. And it was just truly a diverse crowd, which was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Diverse age-wise is what Nikki's saying.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody was white. Otherwise, everybody was white.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah. Any podcast station business, Max?
Oh. Bum ba dum, station business. Okay, that's station business theme song.
Yep. We got the next Vintage Basement coming up, we think, on May 13th in Brooklyn. So look out for our advertisements for that if you want to go to that.
Right.
Econ?
Yeah, it is. Well, anyway, it was. It's.
Oh well,
we'll talk about it later. Yeah,
you don't need to prolong what I just said.
Well, we're gonna say it's at the same venue,
but we might switch the venue.
We might switch the venue because of that reason. Actually,
well,
so we don't want to.
I hope they're not listening.
Well,
I hope they are.
Because
like,
the music thing or what?
Yeah, the music thing was bothered me.
Yeah,
I don't know. Bothered me.
Go on, Nikon. What did you have any station business?
Just Onus Optics. Go to Onus Optics. I wore my pair of Nosebrellas all through Spain. And
oh, that's great.
Boy, did I turn some heads.
they're like, who is that cool guy?
Yeah.
And then you took
cool
off
your
glasses.
Cares about protecting his nose from the
You
sun.
Took off your glasses and they were like, oh my God, he's not sunburned on his nose at all.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it. OnusOptics.com. Go buy some.
Oh, cool. Sorry. I know you may have talked about this, but how was Mallorca?
Mallorca was great. It could have been a little warmer, but it was lovely. It's a lovely island. Highly recommend it. I highly recommend if you rent a car, getting insurance. Because we just... This is the first time in my life I was like, ah, we don't need insurance. It's so expensive.
Oh, no.
It's like $180. And, you know, fortunately we got away unscathed. Oh, but it was okay. Stressful. Every time we got in the car, I was like, no.
Oh, that's good.
But still, it was stressful. Get insurance when you rent cars, people.
You know, we rented
it. It's worth a peace of mind.
Yes. No, we, when we drove cross country from, when we moved to New York from San Francisco, we drove cross country with all our stuff and we had a minivan and we did not, I thought we didn't get insurance on it. We just thought we don't need insurance. It'll be fine. And it was fine almost. We got to our place. We unpacked everything in New York. We unpacked everything and we're going to go to the rental car place, mm-hmm. Avis, to return the car. On the way
there. Shout out to Avis.
Yeah. On the way there, Nikki almost hit somebody's rear view mirror or side mirror.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, it was so close. And we made it all the way across the country. Just when we were returning the car, he almost hit something. But thank goodness we didn't, and we made it.
Thank goodness indeed.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah. But
anyway, you guys ready for Grammar Corner?
I am.
Grammar Corner. any beefs? Any?
Mine still, I feel like I didn't... coming from Spain, this isn't really... This is more of like a confession than anything. You know, I grew up in California and I learned.
You grew up in California?
Not well. Yeah. Grew up in California. And I'm not fluent in Spanish by any means, but the way I learned Spanish was, you know, Mexican Spanish.
Sure. Right.
So the C's and the Z's are pronounced as C's and Z's. But going to Spain, everything is, you know, like.
Lisp. They have a lisp.
Barcelona. Yeah. And I know I'm speaking incorrectly by their standards when I say Barcelona instead of Barcelona, but I just can't bring myself to doing it.
Are you pretty good at Spanish?
No, I'm not good at it. I can understand it pretty decently, and I can get a few sentences out. But I guess,
and you got this Salvador Dali mustache going on.
Then I got to just learn Spanish because of that. And I have to learn to be a world-class painter as well.
Sure. Well, maybe you are. You don't know.
Yeah, maybe I am deep down. You know, but anyway, it's just kind of like not a heartfelt apology. I'm not actually sorry, but to all the Spaniards whose ears I offended.
It was a Grammar Corner where you...
It's a confession.
It was a confession. Oh, interesting take on the corner here.
Well, you know what's funny about that is I, when I used to wait tables, sometimes I worked with people from Latin America, mm-hmm. and I was like waiting for an order once, like a coffee order or something like that, and I told this one person, I was like, you know, andale, and she's like, I'm not Mexican. I was like, so? I didn't know that that's just a thing that... people say in Mexico. Like, that's
I didn't know that either.
That is not also, Spanish, like, across the board.
You can say andale to anybody. They don't have to be Mexican.
No, yes, that's true. But she was not, I don't know how long ago she had immigrated into the States. So she was not familiar that's something that we just do anyway.
Right. So this is Max's confession.
Appropriation, yeah.
Planting the seed of appropriation, a topic we might cover in the future weeks.
Right, but in any event, I kind of was doing it in a kind of lighthearted manner anyway, like andale, but it was...
Like Nelly.
What's that? Andale, like mami, what's happening now? Yeah, right, I remember.
You went from not knowing what I was talking about to very much knowing what I was talking about.
Well, I forgot what you were saying, and I was like, oh, Nelly, that's right, yeah.
You guys, well, so when we did the last Splitting Hairs episode with our guest co-host, Peter, we... Somebody commented on Instagram, I'm not a fast cartoon mouse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I think that's probably how we all came to know Andale at first was Speedy Gonzalez. I
mean, Arriba.
Arriba, Andale. Arriba. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we did the Grammar Corner the last time, it got expanded into almost being just a corner about pet peeves, your latest pet peeves about things. So I'd like to take the opportunity to just voice my a pet peeve that's been getting on my nerves recently, and that is,
well, let's hear it.
Blatant anachronisms that are just, why have them, you know? Why can't you just write better? We so saw this.
Give us an example.
Yes. We saw this play.
Is this grammar?
You shouldn't talk about this.
Maybe I shouldn't. Well,
now I got to hear it.
Well, because, we won't talk about it. Sorry. We'll talk about it.
Now we have to talk about it.
No, we can't.
It.
We can't. We won't talk about it.
Wait, what are you talking about, dude?
What are you talking about? You're saying it in such a negative way. We should not talk about this, Nikki.
Okay, fine. I will mention something else, though. We should have like a splitting hairs after dark, or like a post, dark. you know, subscribers can,
well, when we
in.
Get enough Patreon subscribers, we can.
Anyway,
out with it.
So for example, there's this John Mulaney bit where he talks about Back to the Future, and he's like, what was that writer's room like? Already kind of a pet peeve of mine when people are like, have that typical, oh, what was the writer's room like when they came up with this idea? I mean, that's such a typical setup. But
can excuse John Mulaney for using a typical setup.
When he talks about Back to the Future, he's like, what was the writer's room like? So there's this really cool teenager who hangs out with a mad scientist. He's like, oh, what do you mean cool? Like Ferris Bueller? And I'm like, what do you mean Ferris Bueller? Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out after Back to the Future. That is just lazy writing to just put that in there, you know? Like, what? Oh, you think it's that much funnier to say, oh, you mean like Ferris Bueller's? That you can disregard how anachronistic that is? That really annoys me, that kind of thing.
Well, you might be the only person in the entire universe.
I also, here's the thing. Unless the conceit of the whole premise, which I don't believe that it is about this, is that you are actually kind of purposely getting all the facts wrong, and you're kind of creating some, you know, you're creating kind of an artificial understanding of the whole thing. Like, it's just,
for the purpose of the joke, I don't think it matters.
No,
it does,
I totally
matter to
disagree.
Me. I think he's trying to make it sound funny, but it's based because he's saying, what it was the writer's room like, as if we're trying to imagine ourselves to be in that place in 1984. Wrote it actually in the very early 80s at first, their first draft. But in any event, I just think, okay, if we're supposed to like imagine a reality and that's actually happening, sure, then he's trying to get away with something that isn't correct, actually. I don't like that, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, to the point where it ruins the joke for you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I don't even like the joke anyway.
Other parts of it, though, that he does, there's other things in that he does that are also incorrect about the movie as well, but he's trying to elicit laughter from it. I'm like, but
pick apart the bit even more, as
well,
Max is saying.
Because
there are other things that he says about the bit that I'm like, that is untrue completely.
Oh, he says,
like what?
You go back in future, I think he says, you go back in time to try to have sex with your mom or something like that. And I'm like, no, she's actually trying to hit on him. Like, he knows the whole situation. And I just thought, that doesn't make sense, actually. That's not what he's going back in time.
He's changing the premise of the movie in order to fit the world of his bit, and I don't like that. Why even write a joke like that? It's not funny when you're changing that much about the history of the movie. It's just wrong. Anyway.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Unless it's done in a way,
if it's how you feel, it's how you feel.
Unless it's done in a way where he is, it's like clear to me he's doing it in a way that he's trying to utilize the actual premise of the bit to kind of reinforce his comedic take on the premise, but he's,
Max, you're always trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I mean,
I'm saying, if he were doing it in a situation where it was like, okay, this is I'm clearly getting the premise wrong here,
right?
In order to fit my bit, and that's funny in that sense,
right? Right.
But he's it doesn't seem like it doesn't come off that way to me, but maybe it does to other people. Maybe I'm just not getting it right. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing. You know.
I mean, it just doesn't even occur to me to like fact check a joke. Like if it works like that, if it works, if the flow works, you're not meant to like sit and meditate on every single reference that he's saying.
For somebody that does.
Also, I don't know what examples you're talking about. Like, I don't think he actually said you're trying to go back in time to have sex with
He does say something like that.
But you can't say something like that. What did he actually say?
Well, I can't quote exactly this. It was very similar to what I just said.
Nikon's looking it up now. Well, but to that point, what's really annoying also is when...
I mean, look, like when there's... By the way, I don't want to rag on John Mulaney.
Okay.
I think John Mulaney has some great bits, and But I'm just noting this particular bit of his that I have some qualms with, I think.
But, you know... To that point,
we thought it would be funny. We thought it would be funny, you know, if the boy, he went back in time and, he tried to fuck his mom.
See? There you go. You're right. There you go. I told you. I was...
In fact, he's like repulsed by the idea.
But
the
it whole, works. It's funny. It's
I don't
funny.
Think so.
It's
I don't like it. I don't... Why do you have to change so much about the movie? To me, if I'm watching that joke... And you're trying to relate to somebody who knows the movie, right? So why are you presenting these ideas to the people that you're trying to relate to? A lot of them are going to realize, hey, this is wrong. You're getting this wrong.
I like, but then he's like, but then we want to imply that a white man wrote Johnny B.
That's a good part about the. But actually, if you think about it,
you guys
it's
don't
not,
like John Mulaney, is what I'm gathering.
No. Take that out.
Take that out. We're cutting that out.
Cut it out.
All right.
I was just merely using this as an example of anachronisms that are trying to be used to fit a narrative. Not even that.
I
hate when, a period piece, like something that takes place in the 60s, if it takes place in 1962, but they'll play a song that came out in 1964, that really annoys me. You know, I'm like, why did you need to use that song? Why couldn't you just use something from 1962 or prior? You know, that's really bizarre to me.
Because
you know?
maybe there was nothing from 1962 or prior that spoke to that exact tone that they were trying to get through.
I don't have a
it's
huge
a movie.
I don't have a huge problem.
Some filmmakers
intentionally
are very true to those kinds of details, and that matters to them. And for others, it's all broad brushstrokes. And I don't think it's I don't think either one is like the right way to go.
Into what could be the topic of debate.
Wait,
today.
Can I just say one thing? I actually, I kind of more or less agree with Nikon on that. Is that sometimes directors know that it's not the right year, but they intentionally use it anyway, yet to kind of convey a certain feeling that they're trying to go for.
Exactly.
That song
tone,
is perfect for
whatever.
In the same way,
Max, you convinced me. I'm convinced. I stand corrected.
Well, yeah. In the same way, certain directors might use an editing trick that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense with the continuity, but they'll do it anyway because it creates a better effect. Like in Jurassic Park,
all right.
There's a cliff. That kind of disappears.
All right, Max.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Splitting Hairs.
This is Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Nikon, and we have some weird and wild conversations coming up for you. Okay.
It wouldn't be a Splitting Hairs episode without a
Johnny Carson impression.
So, you know, anachronism. We could keep this as the topic of the debate, you know, if you want. Or
let's keep it because we've already like we're already kind of far into it.
All right. Well, then. Yeah. So
I feel like we've resolved.
So Grammar Corner has become the Pet Peeve Corner, which has become it.
Can I mention something? I said I don't have I have qualms with something before. I didn't use that correctly. That has something more with your own, compunction, your own moral leanings about something, I think, or worries about how it reflects on yourself about something. Anyway, I mentioned
is
something.
Is that right?
But, yeah,
A qualm has to be an inward facing.
Yeah, here's the definition. An uneasy feeling of doubt, worry, or fear, especially about one's own conduct and misgiving.
About
your own.
Interesting.
It's generally, that's kind of at least the...
I just learned something.
Yeah.
anyway, okay. Well, are we just debating this, or are we having somebody be the moderator?
Yeah, let's debate this. Let's debate this, because it's already...
No, but is there a moderator, or...
Are we
not having a moderator for this episode?
I'll take the pro John Mulaney stance because I know.
That's not the topic
of
debate.
So much.
That's not the topic.
No. Nikki, why do you got to mention these things? I swear, I don't like that.
That's not
man.
The topic.
Why do you do that, Nikki?
No, anachronisms.
Yeah, anachronisms. Well, to fit the narrative of a joke, or is it general?
In general. Well,
yeah,
purpose.
In general.
Well, it's either, is it the debate about purposeful anachronisms? Like, they know that that's wrong, but they're doing it anyway? Or is it, they didn't do their research enough and they don't care? Or how is that dealt with?
I think let's just say anachronisms and we can go into the different comments, as we already have. So.
Okay. I'll be the moderator, okay?
Okay. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't care if you use an anachronism. As long as it works, as long as ultimately it's a funny thing you're doing, if it's a joke or if it, whatever, it makes the movie feel more holistic without, I mean, at a certain point, let's say we're talking about a movie that takes place in the 60s and it's 100 years from now, even. Does it matter that some song that's in the whatever that's playing during a scene happened to have been published 2 years after the movie is supposed to take place? Will that matter?
I like to answer that question saying it depends. If it takes place in 1962 and a song is from 1964, that could matter because there. A lot changed. The British invasion happened basically at the end of 1963, 1964, and that changed a lot. Even the style of music changed. And so if you have like a Beatles song...
What if that has nothing
song,
to do with what the movie's about? What if it's just a song that's playing in a movie?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think
that's what
he's saying. It depends.
What I'm saying is, for example, the 60s, a lot changed in the decade. Like you can point to every year in the decade of the 60s and
what
and
if
think,
it's a love
oh,
story?
this is a different, almost a different style,
another.
A different, just a way, the way people interacted, the way family values were and inhibitions and the release of inhibitions later on in the 60s. It does matter, actually.
It doesn't matter if that's not what the movie's about. It matters not at all. If the movie is about, if it's a love story that just happens to take place by necessity, things have to take place at a certain time, but that doesn't mean that it was a deliberate choice to say this love story took place on, December 3rd, 1962. And it's of utmost importance that everything, whatever you could, it could just be like in the writer's mind, it took place at some point in the 60s.
Well, here, can I?
So then why not just use a song?
Why
does it have to be from
the
60s? Why does the song have to be from the 60s?
I think the point is what he's saying is then why.
Because it speaks to the tone.
But then why even have the movie take place in the 60s?
I'm just saying it doesn't. Historical accuracy isn't important to every single story that's ever that could ever be told.
Why have it take place in that period then?
Because you have to have things take place at a moment in time.
There's a reason why somebody chooses the 60s as opposed to now.
So yeah, it took place in the 60s. There was a lot of tumult. There was a lot of turmoil. Political stuff was happening. We were in a war. Blah blah blah. Great. Generally, that's what was happening. It doesn't matter if Miley Cyrus's Cannonball came out in 2015 or 2017 or whatever it was. You know,
wait, like Cannonball, Wrecking Ball.
Is that Wrecking Ball? Whatever. Cannonball. you know, it doesn't.
It actually never came out in Econ, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
2013. Miley Cyrus, I think it came out in 2013. That's your next hit.
Well, look, again, Nikon, I agree with you to a degree. I think if it's deliberate that they're like, okay, I know that this is an anachronism, but I'm doing it anyway to capture the feeling of the scene. It's more appropriate to use this song. But it is weird that it makes it seem less intentional if they're like a year off, you know, like if the film took place in 1962 and the song came out in 1963, it seems why didn't they just use a song from the 70s or the 80s? Like that seems more like, oh, okay, this is, well then again, I don't know. Maybe you're right, Nikon. I don't know, but
yeah, who gives a shit if they were a year off or a day off or whatever?
Let me explain. Let me say something. Can I chime in here as a moderator?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, I think it depends. Yeah, like, for instance, if the movie took place in 1962 and you used a Beatles tune, that would be jarring, actually, because the Beatles were such an iconic moment in history. 1964, everyone knows when they came to America and they hit it big. I mean,
Well,
it's such an iconic thing.
Now, everybody that matters.
But there were still
songs. As we established in the...
However, where Nikon, you were saying, there are songs that were still stylistically similar to 1962 that came out in 1964.
And I'm going to go ahead and say...
Not everyone changed. So then if that's the case, then it's like, okay, this still makes sense for a movie that's in 1962.
Let's be clear. We're talking about music that takes place in the world of the film, right? What we call diegetic music,
of course. Oh, that's a different story, actually. That's a different story.
Non-diegetic doesn't matter at all. At all.
Well, time out. Hold on, T.O.
If you're talking about diegetic music, then that matters.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. What are you, crazy?
I'm kind of leaning towards what Nikki is saying.
Why does it take place in that year?
The story. It doesn't matter if it works for the story. It doesn't matter if... Also, how many movies do you have a shot of somebody holding up a newspaper and it's like, oh yeah, it's Monday, February 3rd, whatever. Like not
well,
every
actually,
movie
specifically
even
in Back to the Future, that it's what November something 1955.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Who cares?
I mean, I gotta disagree with you on that. Non-diegetic. I was
leaning
towards
unless the movie's about. Like Back to the Future, unless it's about specific dates and how they relate to each other and the importance of this detail being there and blah, blah, blah. In which case, I fully agree with John Mulaney, who's when he says that they're suggesting a white guy came up with Johnny B. Goode.
I even disagree with that supposition because...
Right.
Because if you think about the way time works...
Michael J. Fox is being influenced by Chuck Berry.
It's kind of a time loop situation, so it's not totally
chicken and the egg kind of thing.
For the purpose of the joke, it works, right?
That part of the joke does work, yes. Yeah, I still sure. think
that part of the joke does work for the premise, for the what he's trying to convey.
You can still hate John Mulaney and admit that a part of his joke works.
Okay, we are cutting out any part of
cut it.
No, we're
out.
Not.
Stop doing that. Guys.
So Dave Coulier.
I know.
Cut it out.
I know. Okay, right. Doing right. that. funny that you keep trying to keep that running, Nikon, but.
As long as he keeps the John Mulaney thing going, I'm going to keep the Dave Coulier thing running.
You're going to keep the Joey Gladstone thing going?
Joey Gladstone running. But here's the thing. Look.
John yes. Mulaney, the Joey Gladstone of real comics.
Kind of, actually.
What?
No. I don't know.
Oh, man, Nick.
I meant that as a good thing.
We don't know.
No, Dave Cooley is the Joey Gladstone of real comics. Dave Cooley is an actual stand-up comedian.
That's true.
Yeah, but is his act like Joey Gladstone's?
Kind of. Well, it's really? Not that.
It's not like, that.
It's not that TGIF.
I don't know if it's that TGIF, but I think it's pretty. I don't know how it is nowadays, but I think back then it's pretty similar. I think. I don't totally.
I mean, from what I understand, those three guys, you know, Dave Cooley, Bob Saget, and John Stamos, they would do some pretty raunchy stuff, you know, offset, you know. I mean, obviously,
no,
it's not
on
a part,
set.
It's not a, no,
off
offset,
camera.
Off camera. It was, no, offset even. But obviously, that wasn't in Dave Coulier's act. But
obviously, right. Bob Saget was a complete opposite of his.
But do you think that, wait, did you ask this question before? Was his act, like, markedly dirty prior to Full House, or do you
I did ask that. Does anybody
well,
know?
It was somewhat dirty. It was somewhat dirty. Like, I know I've seen like photo,
but he leaned into it maybe more
with kind of a like a toy
yeah,
hand.
Yeah, he wanted to shake that Danny Tanner off of his back. Yeah.
Right, but I do know that he had some stuff that was at least a little bit raunchy. Like, I know that there's a photo of him with like a toy hand, and it's like stuck down his pants or something like that.
Some real hard-hitting stuff.
Well, it's somewhat, you know, it's dirtier than something you would see on TJF, you know.
Well, that's for sure. All right, okay. So back to the anachronism stuff. Diegetic music, unless it's very important to the story, that these times are very specific to blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Unless it's clear that it's intentional, that bothers me. You
well,
know?
Here's the thing, Nikon.
But that's an opinion. That's just my opinion.
Here's
you know?
The thing, though.
Yes,
they yep. purpose. They clearly wanted to capture a specific time period. So why not choose? Why make it specific to that? If the movie is intentionally like 1964, why didn't they? If it didn't matter when it like if they were just trying to capture the, you know, the spirit of the early 60s, why even be specific about the year that they're talking about in the movie if it doesn't matter like what year the diegetic music is?
I agree with that. I think we're having an imaginary debate then at this point, because like other than movies like Back to the Future, I don't think many are going out of their way to be like, hey, today's is
well, no actually Max let me bring up an example.
Well, you just interrupted me.
No, actually I was
go ahead.
So there everybody knows the Queen's Gambit, right? That came out during the quarantine.
Not everybody. No, I'm kidding.
It was it was one of the most watched things on Netflix during the quarantine.
It's like I was splitting hairs about. Well, I don't know about everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. That goes year by year throughout sure. the 60s. And I remember, I think there was one of those years there was.
It might not just go year by year, but day by day, step by step. David, anyway, I was just doing a TGIF reference. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay.
Day by day. Anyway.
Step by step. Anyway. So they make they delineate every year that of this woman's life, you know, as she
yes.
progresses in
the chess world.
In the chess world.
Yes.
And
yes.
there, I believe. And don't quote me on this. It might have been something else I was watching, but there was an anachronism. They had a song that in one of the years that hadn't come out yet. And
okay.
I'm like, well.
And it ruined the whole show for you.
it didn't ruin the whole show. I actually, to be honest, I enjoyed the show.
Oh, interesting.
And
go on.
I thought I liked looking at the costumes and the cinematography was really beautiful, actually.
And you were able to enjoy the show in spite of this anachronism.
I can enjoy something and still get bothered by details.
Sure. Thus, the John Mulaney argument where Nikki's. Well, anyway, I won't. Just because
I have bothered by John Mulaney as a person and as a comedian, and still admit that he has a couple of fine tags on some jokes.
That's not what I was.
That's not what he meant. He's saying just because I'm bothered by
specific things that are even
listen, we should be so lucky. We should be so lucky for this all to get back to John Mulaney.
No, that would be bad.
That would be bad.
Not for our sake, but.
No, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great for everybody's career to have a beef with John Mulaney.
No, John Mulaney is a premier.
He is
a really nice guy.
He's a very nice guy. I wouldn't want
to. I mean, and for the record, I as opposed to these Weinbach.
Wait, what are you talking about? Hey,
big John Mulaney fan.
John Mulaney, if you're out there, so obviously Nikon is joking right now when he says that. I did not say that.
He's joking, meaning Nikon doesn't like John Mulaney? No. Anyway,
no,
just go. Anyway, forget it.
now you're splitting hairs about what I'm saying.
But yeah, I just think that, look, I can be bothered by certain little details of something.
Yeah.
Okay, here's an example. The movie Banshees of Inisherin that just came out.
Yes.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was pretty good. But there is an anachronism in it where I can't remember what Colin Farrell says, but it's an expression he uses that would not have been used at that time. It had not come out at that point. And
like, because they keep saying like, because that's a
no, 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 not no, not that. Not
I don't
that.
See. Okay, that, so
not that.
I think that's a more modern Irish thing, isn't it? The like,
yeah.
I
think you're right about that, but I think because they're using, I think the whole dialogue, I think maybe was purposely not. I'm not totally sure what the dialogue, how people spoke back in the early 20s in Ireland, but I believe the way people are speaking in the movie is not representative of how they act. I think it was intentionally not representative.
Well, in that case,
Some of it is because they say feckin'. They
still do that.
They say
think.
Feckin' instead of fuckin'. Which
don't they
that's
still
like
do,
a, that's like
they,
a.
They still do that, I think. I think sometimes they still do. Ah, that's fucking
still,
no, but there was
it's
something
more of a fucking these days, and traditional Irish is feckin'.
I know, but I think it's I think people still do it in certain parts of the country. I think I don't know.
I'm
maybe
sure
I'm
certain
wrong.
Parts, yeah.
Right,
well, anyway,
maybe in certain.
I don't, well, without yeah,
I can't
well,
speak
anyway,
on this totally. I don't
actually.
Really know.
This is a bad example. But look, there's just certain times. Look, we saw something recently. That there was an anachronism about the Nintendo Entertainment System, and they say a certain game existed on the NES when in fact it didn't come. It came out for the Super Nintendo, not the NES, and that really bothered us because we were like,
"What was it?"
I mean,
a joke?
The people you're trying to relate to here are the people who have nostalgia for those video games, and they're the ones who are going to. Notice
yeah, so that's
the anachronism.
A big, that's a big miss. Yeah, that's a big mistake. If your audience is a bunch of nerds who are into video games,
boy, that's not
the, yeah,
their audience.
That's the
isn't,
last thing you want to do.
Actually, their what the thing is their audience was
well, anyway,
not, they weren't. They're older than people that would be playing the video games. So it was more like, oh, if you're why even say this game? It's such a weird thing where you're like,
well, no, it's. That's besides the point, okay? That has to do with the writer writing something as opposed to who... The writer doesn't know who it's going to be presented in front of
right.
In the end, you know? I mean, it's kind of... Anyway,
that's true.
And also, we think
can
the
we
writer...
Get, I mean, this is kind of unsatisfying unless you... I need some more details.
I can't
I don't
right
want...
Now.
I told you... I didn't want Nikki to bring it up, and
I know,
brought
but,
it up. I told him not to.
But the details I've given you so far...
We can bring it up
you
after.
Agree, you would agree with it? What I'm saying?
I'd have to... No, again, because my whole point is if it works, if the joke works, then I don't care.
Well, it wasn't a joke, per
wow,
se.
Wow, I'm surprised you're so lenient about this kind of stuff, considering other debates we've had in the past where things have bothered you about like...
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Or even like... Well, are the grammar corner things, how though how
grammar
these...
is different. Grammar is different. Grammar is the building blocks of conversation and communication. It's
totally
different than like art and can you take creative liberties to make a story work and
well,
blah,
that's
blah,
another
blah.
Whole
totally
another conversation. That's a whole nother conversation about well, anyway, I don't want to talk about that. But
we have a comment on Instagram Live that's saying it's great when they use mismatched video game controllers versus the game they're actually playing. I know.
Yes,
that's
true.
Yes. Well,
if,
sometimes
if that
on
happens, that's ridiculous.
Sometimes on TV. Well, actually, this happens on TV, which doesn't matter.
I think, you know what? Honestly, I think a lot of that is done for licensing purposes.
That's true.
It's like they don't want to show the Nintendo 64 controller, so they put in a generic controller so that it's like it's a prop. Rather than like an actual product.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes they do actually don't show. I've seen it before where they'll show. I think I've seen a Super Nintendo commercial, a Super Nintendo, them playing a game, a Super Nintendo game, or maybe a Nintendo game on a TV show. But the sounds emanating from the TV aren't the correct kind of sounds that would be belonging to that system.
No. You're getting it wrong, Max. There's specifically an episode of Frasier where they're playing a video game.
I'm not talking about that. Well, I'm not getting it wrong. Well, I was thinking about a Cosby
Frasier
Show episode,
to the Frasier audience.
It doesn't matter. No.
I agree.
Hold on. Time out. Let me finish. In that specific episode, it didn't bother me that much because it wasn't really about the game they were playing. It was more about Niles not... being able to play this video game. I mean, that was the funny part about it. So that, whatever it was, not necessarily, would you call it an anachronism or just...
No, it was the sound effects didn't sound like they came from actually any game that were...
No, but Max,
and again, that's a budget thing because you need to pay the licensing for that.
No, Max, hold on, you're wrong. The sound effects, though, were emulating something that was coming from an 8-bit video game where they were actually playing... with, I think, either Nintendo 64
incorrect
or PlayStation controllers.
Incorrectamundo.
No, I disagree with
that's
you.
Incorrectamundo.
That's
incorrectamundo.
That, anyway, that's for that. That's neither here nor there.
It's actually there.
but look.
It's not here, it's there.
We should finish this off because, well, I got to get going. But I do think that, I don't know if we're going to come to an agreement on this.
Sometimes we do, but no, I don't think we're going to come to an agreement because I think it's, again, all that I care about is does the piece as a whole work? If it's a joke, am I laughing?
Well, can we say
if
this?
If it's a story, am I emotionally moved? Yada, 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 whatever, right? Are you painting a broad enough brushstroke for me to really get what I need out of the thing? And... well, if I am, then all of the creative liberties that you take are to make it work. I mean, we know how hard it is to make something work. Like,
yeah, but that's the whole process is that
if I have
people taking the time and to pay attention to the, you know, Conan O'Brien always points this out when referring to specific art that he likes or comedy that he likes. And I love this saying, and it's a saying that we all know about. God is in the details. When you can pay attention to the nuance, it makes it that much more worth it and impactful, the joke or the piece of art or the TV, the movie or whatever it is, when you pay attention to the details because...
But the details, I agree with that, but the details needn't be historically accurate.
Well, it depends.
They just need to be details.
But can we agree that sometimes it depends? It depends on what your intention is. It depends because you were talking about broad brushstrokes, but to me, it depends. What is your intention behind the joke? Is the joke about the historical accuracies, or is the premise based on what is about? Are you trying to be accurate to the premise?
Yeah.
What is your joke is about, or is it? Or you're trying to, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter to you and you're trying to convey a joke that doesn't matter, or even that's the point of the joke, then by all means, you know.
I will say this. I agree that John Mulaney unfairly went out on a limb and inaccurately portrayed the movie, but I still think the joke works. And honestly, I like, yeah, probably when he said like, oh, this guy's going back to try to fuck his mom, my reaction was probably like, that's not what he's trying to do, but it's like, but it's funny. What you're saying is funny, so it's okay.
I can't get behind what you're saying there. Sorry.
Well, it depends on how it depends. Maybe I think that depends on the audience member who's listening to it. Are they taking it as like, okay, it's funny because we know that's not what he's doing.
No, I
or
actually
are we taking it. Oh, that's funny because it's kind of like what he's doing. If that's the
I
case,
I think he knows. He
work.
Knows. No, he I knows that's it, not what the movie's about. He knows he's just like bringing you along for this for the ride of this joke to be like, yeah, or let's like, you know, skew.
I don't know.
Let's
I think that's kind of lazy writing, to be honest.
I think he does.
And I think, sure, I will say that it's lazy writing, but it's still funny.
I think that it also depends on the delivery. For example, I don't know. It just it depends on how the comedian's delivering it. You know, if they set out their persona to make it seem like, oh, I don't care about any historical accuracies in any of my bits, that's not what I'm about. I mean, obviously, that's not something that a comedian's going to set out to portray in their act. But
wait, what are you talking about?
If they're if their whole vibe is, oh, I'm a comedian who doesn't care about those kinds of things, I'm just trying to make you laugh no matter what, then by all means, you know, I don't care if you're getting
so
something
you're saying
wrong.
you expect more of John Mulaney,
with the way he presents
you don't have to
his
answer
act, with the way he presents his act. Yeah.
I will say,
sure,
yes, there is something in John Mulaney's persona which has this sort of kind of refined quality about it that you would kind of expect him to pay attention to specific details, actually.
Right, exactly.
So yes, I guess he's saying within that joke premise, you would expect him to pay
attention.
I
expect him specifically to pay attention more to the details. Yeah.
I don't disagree with that, but you know, if it means just like adding another tag to a joke, and if it works, you know, it wouldn't have made it into the special if you didn't try it a ton of times.
Sure. No, I mean, look, sometimes, yes, I agree with you, Nikon, in that sometimes even if something is incorrect or I had a line in my musical before that my older brother was mentioning. He's like, well, it doesn't quite, if you worded it like this, it makes a little bit more grammatical sense, actually. And it wasn't hitting as hard, actually. And then I changed it back to the original way, and it hit better, actually. Even though it was incorrect,
well,
like, it didn't quite make sense, but it resonated better for whatever reason, because it
go.
Got to the point quicker, actually. And it was like, yeah, okay, it's just funnier because, you know, it just is. And so I just left it that way,
right,
you know?
But,
yeah. For the record, the part about that joke that bothers me the most is when he says, oh, you mean like a Ferris Bueller type? That bothers me more than anything else, because
that's
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That's insane to me that it bothers you that much.
Well, that came out in 1986, and yes, yeah, Back to the Future came out in 1985, but Back to the Future was written probably in the early 80s.
Who
so
cares?
Well, some people care. Some people
I
care.
Guess we're back to square one. I think we can end on that, because
I will say, yeah, one last thing, you know, with somebody like Arj Barker, whose whole persona is he's playing up the idea that he is kind of, you know, dumb or stupid, where he's like, you know, there's this real, you know, World War II simulator video game that I was playing, and, you know, where he's like, every detail is exactly the way it was. And did you know, and I learned this from the video game, but did you know that if you go into that barn 50 yards down from, you know, so-and-so.
From the D-Day beach.
From the D-Day beach. Beaches. And you make a right and you make a left-ish into that barn and you look under the haystack.
Unlimited
ammo. Grenades.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like he sets up this thing where it's like, oh, it's gonna be really a lot of details, but then he sets it up in such a way that it's so obvious that he knows that this is not historically accurate, you know, and I like that.
Sure.
You know?
All
but
right,
that's
so
like that's a different
so you,
thing.
So you hate John Mulaney and you love Arj Barker.
I do love Arsh Barker. I don't hate John Mulaney.
Okay. All right. I think we're good, right?
Yeah. As usual, if you guys enjoyed what you heard and saw today, make sure to subscribe on YouTube at Splitting Hairs
Podcast
on YouTube and on whatever podcast platform you're listening to on, please rate and review us.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Econ.
Please keep tuning in.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.